Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good. This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Adam, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Without a shadow of a doubt, I guess the biggest story that has pretty much dominated this week and from the weekend is the fact that Michigan and the Wolverines, despite winning a championship, they could still be in a little bit of trouble. We know Jim Harbaugh is now with the Chargers. Sharon Moore is still there taking over. What could be some of the potential ramifications following this investigation?
Right. So, you know, this is kind of the first step in the infractions process regarding the sign stealing scandal that was obviously involving former Michigan staff member Connor Stallions. But a number of other people were named in the notice of allegations, of the draft of the notice of allegations that Michigan will be receiving from the NCAA. And while most of those people are gone, including Jim Harbaugh, you know, Sharon Moore is named on there, namely because he allegedly deleted several text messages to Connor Stallions, or his history with Connor Stallions, after things went public last October. So why this could be an issue for Moore is that he was already involved in another infractions case that resulted in a game suspension last year and some other penalties, and he could be seen as a repeat violator potentially by the NCAA, and that could lead to a suspension or some type of penalties that could affect his ability to recruit and so forth. In terms of the team, I don't think this is going to be too severe. The NCAA has distanced itself from postseason bans or things that really impact the current players that occurred before they were there. So I think this is more an issue of Sharon Moore and what's going to potentially happen to him versus some catastrophic penalty for the program.
Adam Rittenberg is joining us from ESPN, covers all things college football. Well, we got the coaches poll that came out. We see Michigan was slotted at number 8, Notre Dame. You have Ole Miss that is there at number 6, Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Oregon at 3. When you take a look at these polls, and they're just polls, what do you think is more likely to change? Who has the potential early to go up and then go down?
Well, it's a really interesting poll kind of after the first couple of names. I mean, you expect Georgia, you expect Ohio State. I know there's some debate about Oregon, whether they deserve to be number 3 in the coaches poll. We'll see what they are in the AP. I mean, it's a team that hasn't made the college football playoff since 2014. They have a nice record under Dan Lanning, their third-year coach, but they've lost a lot of their bigger games, namely against their rival Washington. They're 0-3 against Washington. So do they deserve to be at number 3? You mentioned Ole Miss. Again, team that had a lot of momentum after last year. They had a big offseason as far as transfers, keeping some of their top players. But are they a team that can truly make the college football playoff, even though there's more opportunities on the table? I think there's some really interesting teams out of the Big 12, and we know the Big 12 champion is going to be in the college football playoff this year. Utah, Kansas State is interesting to me, Arizona, maybe Kansas. So that's a really wide-open league that should be a lot of fun to watch. But I think some of the non-traditional names necessarily in the SEC, we're talking about Ole Miss and Missouri. Hey, with the 12-team playoff, they actually have a chance to make it, where, you know, realistically it would have been a lot harder for them in the four-team system.
Well, Adam, when you talk about Ole Miss being this high up, what is everybody now falling in love with Jackson Dart and what he can do? Because I look at Ole Miss and I'm like, hey, guys, let me know when you actually beat somebody at the top of the SEC.
Yeah, it's a fair criticism of Lane Kiffin. I do think he was able to distance himself a little bit from that last year with some of the wins that they did have. And they obviously, you know, beat Penn State in the Peach Bowl to end a pretty memorable season. But, you know, you got to win the big games in that conference to really merit that type of playoff buzz. The interesting thing to me is you look at their schedule, and, you know, until you get down the stretch and really that Georgia game, you know, coming to Oxford on November 9th, you know, I know they have Oklahoma coming in, but Oklahoma is a transitioning team moving from the Big 12 to the SEC. They have to go to LSU. But the opening schedule, you're talking about Furman, Middle Tennessee, Wake Forest on the road, Georgia Southern, Kentucky, South Carolina. Ole Miss should be undefeated going to Tiger Stadium to take on LSU in the middle of the season. And that's one of those bigger games that a lot of us will be circling in the SEC, because you know, Ole Miss certainly has the talent, especially along the line of scrimmage. That's the one area. You mentioned Jackson Dart, and they've had good quarterbacks. They've had good receivers. But I think Ole Miss has been a little lacking at times against the best teams in the SEC on the offensive and defensive lines. This year, they have the potential to be really good up front on both sides of the ball.
Adam Rittenberg is here with us on the JR Sport Re-Show. Covers all things college football for ESPN. You know, speaking of the SEC, we see some of the teams that have come in. Texas has a high ranking. Oklahoma is in the top 25 as well. Matter of fact, right outside of 15 at number 16. Everybody is looking at Texas naturally. How do you think Oklahoma is going to transition? It feels like they've been forgotten about just a little bit.
Well, they have. You know, it's been, you know, kind of uncharacteristic couple of years for the Sooners, who were, you know, kind of used to making the playoff for a while there towards the end of Bob Stoops' run and certainly the beginning of Lincoln Riley's tenure. And, you know, Ben Venables, I think they were an improved team in some ways last fall, but we're still waiting for a real breakthrough from the Sooners, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Dylan Gabriel, who was their quarterback the last 2 years, goes ahead and transfers to Oregon, and he'll lead the Ducks this fall. You know, Jackson Arnold, who's a really exciting young player, is going to take over at quarterback for Oklahoma, but it's obviously tough for him, you know, first year as a starter going into the SEC. And then you look at their schedule, and this is the big, you know, the first half of the schedule, not overwhelming with, you know, Temple, Houston, Tulane, Tennessee, that's a home game, and then at Auburn. But then you look at that back half, obviously the Texas game, Red River game in Dallas, but then they have to go to Ole Miss. They got to go to Missouri. They got Alabama at home, and then they're at LSU. Those are some really tough games for Coach Venables and the Sooners, and we're going to find out, you know, just how ready they are for the SEC right away. And to me, it really goes to the defense. I grew up, you probably grew up, with elite defense coming out of Oklahoma. It's been a really, really long time since Oklahoma was playing the type of defense you need to win national championships, and that was a big reason why they brought back Brent Venables as their defensive coordinator. He's got to start delivering results.
Well, Adam, you talk about defense and also change. I mean, we don't have to go outside of Boulder, Colorado. One of the greatest defensive players of all time is leading a school, and that's Deion Sanders leading Colorado. There wasn't the nicest of articles that have come out recently about the environment in Boulder from last year. What do you think happens this year? What could potentially be the end game as Shador and Travis move on? What is this going to look like for Colorado?
Right. You know, it's going to be fascinating because we saw how exciting it can be when they're winning, and they were winning early last year, and then it turned on them. And, you know, that Stanford game in particular, blowing the big lead, and they didn't win a game the rest of the season. And there's going to be a spotlight there. They move into the Big 12. Shador Sanders, Travis Hunter, you know, two stars, but what do they have around them? How are they going to look at the line of scrimmage? How much have they improved along the offensive line in particular with the transfers that they picked up? Because that wasn't a good unit last year, and they struggled to run the ball. They struggled to protect Shador Sanders. And what can Shador Sanders do to help himself and that offense? Can he get rid of the ball a little bit quicker at times? Took so many sacks last year. That's very, very hard to get through a season when you're getting hit that much. And then they move into the Big 12. Again, a league that doesn't have Texas and Oklahoma in it anymore, but a lot of really good teams, a lot of evenly matched teams at the top of that conference. And I think how Colorado starts the season will be important, but it's going to be more important in some ways if they can continue that early success potentially, because they weren't able to do that last year. And if it, again, you know, after that initial bump, we were all so excited about Colorado. There hasn't been a lot of positive news coming out of there, whether it's some of the stories that you referenced or just the team's performance. We'll see if Deion can get it done in year two. There'll certainly be a lot of attention on him.
Adam, do you think he'll be sticking around for year three?
I think it could go either way. I think, you know, he's a guy that's obviously always coached his kids, and he doesn't have any more that are coming up through the program. With Shador most likely moving on to the NFL, Shiloh, his other son is a senior defensive back safety who starts for them. So, you know, how much does he want to be there? Are there other opportunities? I think part of it depends on the performance, and you know, if he has a really good year and Shador and Travis go in the top five, like Deion Sanders has predicted of the draft, you know, how appealing will he be for another job in college or elsewhere? I think that's probably part of it, is, you know, what's the market like for Deion Sanders? Where else could he go? And how much would he want to move on to, you know, maybe a more familiar area of the country? He's obviously spent most of his life in the Southeast, from Florida, lives in Texas. You know, barely spent any time, in anywhere else in the country until he took the Colorado job. So it'll be something that could certainly go either way. I don't anticipate him being in Colorado for much past this year, but he could certainly stay there a third year.
Adam Rittenberg joining us on the JR Sport Brief Show, courtesy of ESPN. When you think about some of the premier talent, everybody is going to look at, you know, Colorado, and people are interested to see what Shador does. Jaden Daniels is now gone. You know, now he's in Washington. Penix is here in Atlanta. Bo Nix is in Denver. Marvin Harrison has moved on as well to Phoenix. Who are going to be some of the biggest players that we should look out for when it comes down to the Heisman this year? Any surprises? A lot of these guys kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, I think because of the number of quarterbacks that were selected, especially high in the draft, you have to start at that position, but it's largely a reset, even though there are some familiar names. You know, we talked about Jackson Dart of Ole Miss, perhaps Dylan Gabriel, you know, now at Oregon, a national championship contending team going into the year. He's a guy that'll finish in the top 10 for NCAA career passing, always has put up big numbers, and so he's someone to watch. But certainly Carson Beck at Georgia, I think the conversation either starts with him or he's in that mix of top contenders as the, you know, returning starter for, you know, a team that a lot of people think has a chance to win a national championship, and had a very, very good first season, and is looked at as the most NFL-ready quarterback in the sport right now. So I would say Carson Beck is one to watch. And then there's a lot of different options at Ohio State, and oftentimes that doesn't help when you know, you could go Travion Henderson, or you could go Quinshon Judkins, the transfer from Ole Miss, or Emeka Ibuka, who's back at wide receiver, right. Will Howard, who transfers in at quarterback from Kansas State. So they have a lot of different options at Ohio State. Another guy that I'll mention, and I was just there on Friday, is Riley Leonard, the quarterback at Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's a team that absolutely should contend and should make the college football playoff. And if they do, he's going to be a big reason why. And I know they're very excited about the transfer from Duke and his dual threat abilities that really spark that offense. And by the way, their offensive coordinator, Mike Denbrock, he came from LSU. So he just coached the Heisman Trophy winner in Jaden Daniels, and he's trying to replicate that success back at Notre Dame.
Well, Adam, with all of this expansion of the playoff again and probably again, what am I going to be another, I don't know, 10 years? I'm going to be looking at 64 teams. How much more expansion do we have here?
Well, as you know, every playoff system in this country gets bigger, whether it's pros or college. And, you know, I don't think it needs to get much bigger than this. I think this will be a representative, more nationally representative playoff. There'll be more opportunities. There'll be more meaningful games around the country. You know, think about it. Even the group of five, fighting for that extra championship spot,
right,
whether it's a Memphis or a South Florida in the American or a Boise State. And we talked about them before, but now they can actually get in. UNLV, teams like that in the Mountain West, they're going to have meaningful games most likely down the stretch. So I don't think you need to go much bigger than 12, but as every playoff system has shown us, people want more postseason, and we'll probably get it in college football.
Hey, Adam, final question. You talk about opportunity. Quinn Ewers has no more eligibility after this. Will we finally see Arch Manning? How much longer I got to wait? Like, that's it, right? I want to see Arch.
A lot of people do. Now, Quinn Ewers is a guy who, had a really good season last year, helped Texas get to the college football playoff for the first time. The thing is, he's only 20 years old. I was talking to him about this earlier this year. He seems like he's been around forever.
He's not 50?
He's not 50. And he's another guy. You mentioned Heisman. Obviously, if he plays well for Texas, he's going to have a lot of attention on him, but so will his backup in Arch Manning. So the first sign of trouble, there's going to be some calls for Arch to get in there, and Quinn is certainly going to do everything he can to stay on the field.
You think that there's a small – well, there's always a chance due to injury and performance, but you think we might see Arch Manning this year? I don't think we will, unless there's an injury.
Well, you just never know. How is Arch doing? We're in practice right now, preseason practice. How much is he pushing Quinn Ewers? I'll say this, in talking to coaches around the country, Quinn Ewers is one of those guys that you can get a lot of different answers as far as feedback. I think he's generally seen as a talented player, but there's a lot of coaches that aren't in love with him. And so, again, if they go out and struggle, if they lose to Michigan, for example, in week two on the road, if they struggle early in some of their SEC games, if they lose to Oklahoma, that drumbeat for Arch Manning is going to get louder and louder. We both know that, and that'll certainly be an interesting decision for Steve Sarkisian with his quarterbacks.
Yeah, it'll be Manning time. We can start printing up the T-shirts. Hey, Adam, thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you and your work with ESPN?
Yeah, sure. So follow my work at the ESPN.com college football page. I have all my stories there. And then obviously on X at ESPN Rittenberg. So you can check out all the stuff on X as well.
Hey, Adam, we look forward to catching you down the line. Thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons, the diseases that I am protecting my child against. They're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on Auto Trader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on Auto Trader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Christy Pierce Rampone here, former member of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, 3-time gold medalist, and 2-time World Cup champion. I'm mom to 2 teenage girls and a dog mom too. All 4 of them need lots of stuff, and we always need it fast. And that's why we use Amazon Prime. When our favorite leash broke, I went right to Prime, and with one click, I ordered it again. Not to mention all the great streaming shows I watch with family. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime.